This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum, dear sisters. This is Fatima Barakatullah on this Facebook live session for Still We Rise, the Sisters Online Summit, which technically I believe ended last week. But alhamdulillah, we still have this beautiful group here on Facebook Live, which Sister Naima B. Robert set up, alhamdulillah. And I think it's really a nice little space for us, especially us sisters, to, I think, support one another, especially during this this difficult period, or I would say challenging period, that we're all globally going through. So I thought I would take this opportunity to share some thoughts with you that I've been thinking about, some of the things I've been thinking about, some of the things we've been focusing on in our family. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. I think it's been over a week. So I think a lot of us have kind of gotten used to the new normal now, somewhat. And I don't know about you, but I started actually thinking about some of the opportunities that this period of time when we're all at home, we've all been encouraged to stay at home as much as possible. Here in the UK, that's what the latest advice is anyway. Stay at home as much as possible. Stay with your own household. So even if you go out, you know, maybe you go to the park once a day, just for exercise, go out for your needs, but any non-essential travel, we've been told not to make, okay? So it's really a strange kind of period. I mean, cafes are closed, restaurants are closed, except for takeaway. Shops are closed, like clothes shops are closed, you know, like massive, places, malls, like, you know, we've got a shopping center, Brent Cross Shopping Center around here, and there is also Westfield, and these kind of big shopping centers, they're all like ghost towns, you know. It's amazing, subhanAllah. I don't think I've ever experienced a period of time like this, and I'm sure you haven't either. So this week I started thinking about, how could we as a family use this time as an opportunity, you know. SubhanAllah, sisters, you know, one of the things about successful people, if you read lots of biographies and if you read literature on people who have been successful in their lives, one of the things you notice is it's not that they had the perfect resources, and it's not that they had the perfect situation, or a perfect life or circumstances, right, that made them successful. Actually, what you notice is that, subhanAllah, it was their ability to adapt, to different situations and continue to carry out their vision, regardless of the circumstances, that really, subhanAllah, helped them to be successful, led to their success. Right? So in other words, we were carrying on with life in a certain way, maybe we were in a particular direction, and now we're having this challenging period or change of circumstances that we're all having to experience. Now, if we were to use this period in a powerful and empowered way, what we should do is now adapt and not change our vision, but change the mode with which we are going to achieve our vision, right? And when I'm talking about vision, I'm talking about especially vision for our families, right? This session is going to be about five big lessons or five values to teach your kids during lockdown, right? So let me tell you the five areas that I've decided, inshallah, during this lockdown period, I'm going to be focusing on with my little tribe of kids. And I'd love to hear from you and hear what ideas you've had. Maybe you've had some epiphanies during this time, some ideas that you're thinking, wow, I could actually really use this time to instill certain things in my family and my children and my family culture. By the way, sisters, I can't tell whether you can hear me or not, or whether you're seeing me fine or not. I'd love it if you left a comment or you just made a couple of comments just to say hi, like that you're here, that you can hear me. I'm just going to wait for you to do that. And you have a Yes, I've got one comment here. We can hear. Okay, that's great. Great to know. Great to know. Alhamdulillah. Thank you for that. Thank you. Jazakallah khairan. Jazakallah khairan. Okay. Can you do me also a little favor and start thinking during this session about any ideas and questions that you might have? Maybe you're facing something and you'd like to maybe pick my brains on it. If I can help you, I will do so, inshallah. So think of some questions, think of some comments, and do leave them, as I'm speaking. And inshallah, at the end of this session, which will not be a very long session, inshallah, I'm just going to share my five with you, and I'm going to answer any questions and share your ideas as well, inshallah. Because I think, subhanallah, that saying, it takes a village to raise a child, right? It takes a village to raise a child. So this is our village, right? This community of sisters, inshallah, we can be a village that support one another in raising our children. And some of the most amazing ideas that you get as a mom is from other moms, right? Moms who have had more experience, or moms who maybe they're looking at things in a different way that you never thought of looking at a situation in. So we can really learn from each other, inshallah. So here are my five, okay? My five things to teach your kids during lockdown. Okay, so my first area that I'm going to be looking at, and I want you to focus on as well, inshallah, I encourage you to focus on, is reviewing our family's tech consumption, right? So the value here that I want to instill in my children is the value of real people and real relationships, right? Because subhanAllah, so many of us, when we're going about our everyday lives, when there's school, when there's, when normal life is outside of lockdown is taking place, what do? We tend to kind of be on autopilot, right? We tend to be on autopilot. And what that means is we allow certain things to slide, right? We get lazy as parents. We let our children do certain things that actually might not be that good for them, spend maybe too long on screens, right? And I think this is a really good time for us all to start actually thinking, you know what? What is the ideal amount of time and type of tech consumption that our family should be having, right? There's this funny, well, it's not funny actually, it's quite depressing, a cartoon that I saw where there's like a dad and a child sitting on a sofa together, right? So a long settee, and the father and the child are sitting on the settee, and between them is this massive phone, right? Like as a barrier between the father and the son, a massive iPhone, right? And subhanAllah, that kind of really illustrates what's happening, to our families. Subhanallah, families are sitting together, but they're not really together. Mum is on her phone, dad is checking something, somebody's chatting on WhatsApp. Subhanallah, what's happening? What's happening and what's going to happen? It's kind of scary. It's actually kind of scary. So I think it's really important for us all to review what kind of family do we want to be, and how connected do we want to be? Do we have family dinners, right? Like, what excuse do you have now, right? I can understand when you know, like maybe people were working and then going out to work, I mean, and, you know, there was school and there was crazy hectic weekdays that people might not have always been able to sit together and eat a meal as a family, right? But what excuse do we have now? You know, we should be using this time to sit together, like, you know, civilized human beings and eat as a family. And in that wonderful interaction, we get to teach our kids so much and they get to learn so much from us. You know, we get to be actually interested in what's going on in their lives, what they're thinking about. Let them share their ideas and also teach them some table manners, subhanAllah. I don't know about you, but you know, our kids, they end up spending so much time at school and sometimes they pick up some really terrible habits from their friends at school, right? So review tech consumption and start getting reconnected. I think that's my first thing, right? The value of real relationships is the first value that I want to teach my kids during this time. Some of the things that I would encourage you to do is actually to have the main home computer, right? Whatever the main computer is that people work on, the PC, in the common space, you know, not to allow children to have computers and devices in their bedrooms. Sisters, I really feel strongly about this, actually, because subhanAllah, I meet so many mums who will tell me that they feel like they are disconnected from their kids, especially their teenagers. Moms who and dads who feel that they lost their relationship with their child. And when you dig a little deeper, you realize for years and years, for years and years, that child was basically spending their time in their bedroom on a device, disconnected from the family, and connected with the jungle of the world out there, right? SubhanAllah. How can we allow that to happen? And how can we expect to do that, to allow our children to do that, and then expect there to be any kind of decent relationship with them, right? They've been building relationships with this virtual world in their bedrooms. And SubhanAllah, God, Allah knows what kinds of things they're getting exposed to. People they're being contacted by, ideas and things, you know, unhealthy things that they might be exposed to. And there we are, their parents, in the same house, but we're almost like on different planets. And I don't think there's any excuse, brothers and sisters, because as parents, we are in charge. We are in charge, right? Our children do not need us to be their pals. They don't need that from us. They need us to be their parents, first and foremost, right? What that means is somebody who sets the boundaries, somebody who knows what's better, and knowing and loving that person, that child, makes rules, right? And takes a stand. Yes, takes a stand. And I think one of the key areas we all need to start taking a stand on is technology consumption. Personally, I don't believe a child needs a smartphone. No, I don't believe a child needs a smartphone, and I believe that it actually does more harm than good. Okay? And yes, I know there's a lot of pressure, and there are these parents who kind of give their kids all the tech that's available and the latest thing and better phones than adults have, right? The latest. But you know what? Those other families, those other children, they're not your concern. Your own child and their well-being is your concern, right? And I think that's the important message we need to give our kids, right? Don't give me the example of some other family and how they let their kids have everything, all the tech and all the time. And, you know, unfortunately, those types of families, they're going to suffer the consequences. May Allah protect their children, but naturally speaking, there are going to be consequences of that kind of permissiveness, right? For us, we need to be shepherds and take care of our own flock, right? And that means setting rules. And yes, sometimes it's rules that are unpopular, right? And one of those rules for me definitely is no smartphones. No smartphones for kids until they're at a certain age and they show a certain level of maturity. And for me, that's usually 18. And I know that might sound very old, but subhanAllah, schools are actually suffering, and schools are crying out to parents and saying, please, can you take these devices away from the kids? Because they cannot focus. They cannot focus on their revision. They cannot focus on their schoolwork. When they're trying to do a project, they're just constantly distracted. So, dear sisters, I implore you, as the, you are the Rabbatul Bayt. My dear sister, you are the Rabbatul Bayt. You are the Lord, I don't know how to translate that. The lady of the house. You're the lady of the manor, right? You get to set the rules, you and your husband. And so please, take some time out to review your family's tech consumption and set a digital sunset, right? There should be a time in the evening when everyone just puts their devices away, right? Put them to charge. Reconnect with your family. Okay, so that's my first thing, right? Review that, and please don't give your kids devices in their private spaces, okay? The second value that I'm going to be focusing on during this time, it's a real opportunity for this, is the value of life skills, the value of habits. So, subhanAllah, during normal school times, it's kind of hard sometimes to teach your kids everyday things like doing the chores, doing them really properly, right? And like when somebody runs a company, what do? When they have an employee and they're asking them to fulfill a role, they'll train them, right? You take the time to train them properly to be able to fulfill that role. And what happens in our families sometimes, what tends to happen, is we don't teach our kids properly how to do those chores, how to do those things. So whether it's, doing the laundry, filling the dishwasher or washing the dishes by hand, or tidying up a space properly, right? Or cleaning the bathroom, or sewing a button. All those kinds of life skills, we don't take the time to train our kids how to do them properly. And then when the time comes when they're needed, what happens, sisters, what happens? We end up doing everything, right? We end up doing everything because we think, oh my God, it's just going to be quicker if I just do it myself, right? But the real problem isn't that it's quicker that you do it yourself. It's that we never took the time. We never actually took the time to train our kids. We never took the time to train our kids. So what I would encourage all of us during this period of time to make a list of the kinds of chores, the kinds of jobs, the kinds of life skills our children, your child, depending on their age, needs, and teach them properly. Take the time to teach them properly. So, for example, one of my goals for one of my kids is that he can prepare a meal, right? A whole meal for the family. Because when things go back to normal, I want somebody in the house to be able to make a meal for the family when I'm busy, right? For example. Or even be able to make a basic meal for their younger siblings, right? And then clear up and do the whole job, from beginning to end. And that takes time, that takes training, that takes you allowing them to do things, make mistakes, and then correcting them, right? And so during this time when we're in lockdown and we're with our kids day in and day out, I would really encourage you to think for each child a skill or a habit or life, something that will benefit them in their lives, that you could help them to learn really well and get into the habit of being able to do really well, right? So for example, you know, I heard the psychologist saying that when you want a child to learn to tidy their bedroom, right? Instead of saying, right, tidy your bedroom, and that's like just one command that you give them, right? What you do is you break the task down. You break the task down into its various parts. And depending on their age, you start off with the smallest level of that task. And once they've mastered that, you grow the task. You keep extending it until they can do the entire task. So maybe on the first day, especially if it's a young child, you can say to them, right, today I want you to pick up all the toys and put them into that box. Okay, simple task. When they're able to do that, then you might want to move on to something else. So you move on to, you know, the books, for example. Then you move on to something else. And then eventually, when you say tidy the bedroom, the child will be able to do all those tasks, you know, as they get older and as they master each little part of that task, right? I hope you're understanding what I mean by that. But yeah, I want you to make a list for yourself, for each of your children, as to the important life skills, the chores, and the things that they can help with around the house, that you can take the time during this lockdown period to really teach them really well. Okay, so that's number two. Number three, I'm going to use this time to teach them the value of and to correct their obligations. The obligations and the fundamentals. Many of us may have taught our children how to pray. And then, you know, we pray, they pray. especially when they're older. You know, you might have jama'ah in the house, etc. Now, sometimes what can happen is we assume our children know certain parts of the prayer. We assume they know certain fundamentals of the deen, but actually, you know, we only taught the first child, and, you know, by the time the second child came along, or the third child, you know, we were too busy, we didn't take the time to really make sure that they understood and they know their fundamentals. So dear sisters, this is a great opportunity for us to revisit those fundamentals, right? So the salah, I would encourage you to go through the salah, especially with your older kids who've already established it, and those who are beginning to establish it, go over the whole salah with them from beginning to end. Make sure they know each part of it, the surahs, the du'as, the actions, you know. Teach them about the fitra acts, right? So things like cutting the nails, trimming the hair, well, that's for, you know, for men, for trimming the beard maybe, or, you know, the moustache, sorry. Less if you've got older sons, right? And apart from that, things like, you know, hair removal and, you know, the fitra acts. Those things are obligations that are on our children, especially when they reach adolescence and when they reach adulthood, that sometimes it can be easier for us to neglect. And we just assume, oh, they'll read about it and they'll figure it out. No, it's really important that we as moms take the time, okay, or dads, you know, if it's with the older boys, if you think that's more appropriate, you know, to take the time to actually go through those things and make sure they know how to do those things. Because, subhanAllah, they're going to leave the home soon, you know, when they get to a certain age, you can't micromanage them anymore. And so it's really important that we've done our duty as parents and we've at least conveyed to them the obligations, right? And made sure that we have conveyed to them the obligations properly and taught it to them properly, right? So please take this time, and I'm going to be doing this as well, inshallah, to revisit the salah, revisit wudu, how to make wudu. Watch your child make wudu. And then make sure they do it properly, because sometimes when they've been doing it for a long time, they start becoming slack, you know, maybe leaving pots unwashed, etc., etc. And this is a great opportunity for us to A, spend time with our kids and give them that attention, that one-to-one attention, and B, actually make sure that we've done our job as parents and conveyed those fundamentals to them properly, right? So the value of the deen, the value of the fitrah, the acts, the value of the obligations. That's my number three. Number four, I'm going to be using this time to teach my children the value of time, the value of time. And the way that I think we can help them do that is by encouraging them every single week to make their own weekly timetable, you know, and make a daily checklist for every day. So, for example, if they have a time when, you know, you let them, I don't know, play on the computer and have or game, do gaming, do some gaming or whatever. Before that, you say to them, for example, you know, obviously different things suit different families, but in my family, for example, before they do that, before they have their chill out time, they must complete X number of things on the checklist, right? That they've made for themselves. And subhanAllah, just this small act, right, can really teach them the value of time and managing your time. Because how many of us, when we left school, right, and when we had to, like, basically, when we didn't have an institution managing us, managing our time, how many of us felt quite lost? You know, it's quite common. It's quite common for us when we don't have an institution setting out our timetable for us, right, to feel quite lost because we never learned the skill of time management. We never learned the skill of actually planning our own day, making checklists, being productive, and going through that, right? So I think this is a great opportunity because they don't have that structure of schooling and the school day around them, for us to teach them to be able to manage that themselves, you know. So you sit down, you talk about, you know, what time do you think we should be waking up every day? Yeah. What time are we going to have breakfast? What's the breakfast kind of period if you have breakfast early, for example? When are we going to do our daily exercise? Right? And another great thing you're getting to convey to them is the value of each of these things, you know, giving time to your body, giving time to preparing a good meal, giving time to learning, giving time to salah, giving time for fun as well, right? So all of those things, what you're teaching your kids through that process of timetabling and encouraging them to make their own checklist is how great it feels to be productive every single day, right? And how we should apportion times for different things so that we can have a balanced day. So I really encourage you to do that. I think it's a great thing. It's a great exercise to instill in our kids because it's something they can do daily. The checklist they can do daily, the timetable they can do weekly. The fifth area that I'm really going to be focusing on is teaching my children the value of learning. The value of learning. Every single day, they've got to learn something, right? Whether it's through reading a book, listening to an audio book, having an online lesson. I really think this is a great opportunity for us to teach our kids the value and the get a passion for learning, not learning that's forced on you by a class, right, at school, but you know, just man thinking of things that you'd like to learn about. I think that's one of the things that homeschoolers are always saying is great, right, about homeschooling, that you can have much more kind of child-led learning. Well, similar thing here, you know, we can use this time, okay, when there's no school, and I would say, for example, what I've planned to do is with each of my kids, there are certain areas that I want them to focus on, right? So during these next few weeks, and subhanAllah, we've been told it could be up to 6 months, that inshallah, it's not going to be that long, but it could be up to 6 months that things are not going to be normal, right? 6 months. Every 3 weeks, they're going to review the situation. Okay, so we've got to start thinking 6 months. For me, in those 6 months, with one of my children, for example, I've identified I want them to have regular Arabic classes online, right? And I can, inshallah, after this session, I will post a link to the institute that some or a few institutes that I know of in Egypt. They do great online lessons for kids, even young kids. And what they do is they have a teacher who speaks in Arabic. Initially, she might use a little bit of English, she or he, but they use pictures. They have like an online whiteboard, and they use Zoom. And subhanAllah, within a lesson or two, your child starts speaking Arabic because they're having to respond to that teacher. And it's amazing. It's beautiful and it's amazing. And I want to use this time to focus on that, because that's something I can't focus on during school days, right? And also because it's conducive to the situation, right? That's what I meant by sometimes you have to change your mode of learning. It doesn't mean the learning stops, right? Also, with one of my sons, I'd like him to revise his Quran. So, and again, online, you can find online tutors. And subhanAllah, it's not very expensive, especially when it's a teacher from Egypt or one of those countries. And he can revise his Quran. So what we're doing is we're kind of instituting a structure. When you don't have a class to go to, the class, you bring the class to your home, right? But the learning never stops. That's one example. Another example is another child of mine. I know that in a year or two, they're going to have to do an entrance exam to get into a secondary school, right? So, the typical maths, English, verbal, non-verbal reasoning. Now, this is a great opportunity for me to make that the daily thing that we focus on, right? Something that I wouldn't be able to do during school when school was in, right? So again, whatever it is, it's going to be very personal to you. You go through each of your children and you think to yourself, what could that person, that child, benefit from in the next 6 months or the next few months that we could make the main focus of the next 6 months? For one of your children, it may be, that you want them to finish reading the Quran from beginning to end, and you want to make that a daily practice. Every single day, 10 minutes, half an hour, they read Quran bit by bit by bit until, subhanAllah, in 6 months, definitely, they will either finish or they will get very, very far. Even if they read a page a day, they would get very, very far in that. Or even half a page, depending on their level and their age. So it's really something that you're going to have to like personally think about for each child. But I think if we take the time to do that, my dear sisters, inshallah, this period of time, these 6 months, or even if it ends up being 3 months or less, will have been so fruitful. We'll have something tangible at the end to say, you know what, we achieved that during this period with our kids, right? My son, my daughter learned that life skill during that period. So, again, in summary, teaching them reviewing family tech consumption, number one. Number two, the value of habits. So teaching them life skills and chores, right? Number three, going over the obligations and the fundamentals of the deen, the fitrah acts, the salah, the wudu, how to make ghusl, all those kinds of things. We really need to make sure they know each aspect of them properly. Number four, value of time, teaching them to make their own timetable, to make their own plan for the day and a checklist. And then number five, the value of daily learning. Let them learn something so that bit by bit, so that by the end of this period, they'll have actually completed something tangible, inshallah. So, dear sisters, I'm going to have a look to see if any of you have posted any questions. Aha, I can see my dear sister Naima has joined. And we've got, okay, mashallah, Sister Rashida says, excellent ideas. SubhanAllah, some of these ideas I got from other sisters, you know, who on a WhatsApp group that I was on, one of the sisters said she's going to go through all the fitra acts with her kids. And I thought, wow, what a great idea, you know, because I'm not really sure, you know, if especially my eldest, or, you know, if I know that I did teach them at one point, but I, you know, these things need reviewing, right? One of the sisters is saying, feeling lost with time. That must be why my girls are fighting so much. Time management. Okay, sorry. Yeah, subhanAllah. I think all of us felt a bit lost initially, right? And that's what happens when that kind of structure is kind of taken away. The structure of your familiar day and your and schooling. And, you know, I mean, I love the fact that on school days, you wake up early, you know, you have to get out. Doesn't matter what you did the night before, you have to get up, you have to get out. And I had a lovely little routine going, you know, I used to drop my kids to school, go for my half an hour walk, very fast walk, while listening to an audiobook. And then I would go for my morning coffee. And that was my reading time. And while I'm having my coffee at this wonderful place that, subhanAllah, is closed now, right? It's closed during this period. It's like this gourmet coffee place. I used to be sitting there with my lovely book for the day, which I would start my day off with. And it was kind of get me into that productivity mode, subhanAllah. And that kind of, even just that basic morning routine being taken away can be a little bit, you know, I don't know, it just kind of throws you off course, right? But look, I think in a way, subhanAllah, that's the skill that we're being taught. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us, you know, when all of the structure around you has been pulled away, what are you going to do? And actually, I think that's why a lot of us are having a lot of trouble during this period. Not just us, I mean, society at large. People are thinking, oh my God, without all my, you know, structure around me, what am I? Who am I? You know, people are having existential crises, sisters. And I think that's kind of natural, because when all the kind of, you know, all the little things that we put around us, the our job, our work, our schooling, our structures, our institutions, when they're all ripped away from us, all that's left is us. And we're kind of faced with having to ask the most fundamental questions, like, who am I? What does my life stand for? You know, what kind of family have I raised, right? And I think a lot of us are having to face that as well, you know? I mean, literally, people are like having issues with their spouses, and subhanAllah, you know, it shouldn't be like that. It shouldn't be like that. But it's kind of inevitable in a way, because for the first time, everyone is having to spend so much time together all day, every day. But subhanAllah, perhaps Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us this opportunity to renegotiate our relationships, right? And to actually take stock of what's been going on in our families. And sometimes that only becomes really apparent when everything stops, right? And you're having to like sit there and watch your kids eat at dinner time, and you're like, how can you eat like that? You know, that's one of the things I'm struggling with at the moment, right? Teaching our kids how to eat nicely, teaching them how to use a knife and fork properly, can't believe I'm telling you these things. But sisters, I'm telling you, there are things that we're realizing and noticing about our families that maybe have been either neglected or because they've been at school and because they've been with other people, they've picked up bad habits. SubhanAllah, this is our chance. This is our chance to, warts and all, face up to what our families are, what our family culture, the good and the bad of it, you know, what our family culture has become, and how we can actually take control back. Take control back, SubhanAllah. So yeah, listen, if you're having trouble with time management, Alhamdulillah, every day is a new day, right? Create a plan, make it a little bit better than today was, and try to stick to that tomorrow, right? And then the next day, make it a little bit better. And that's life, you know, just keep tweaking it and building habits back into your day. MashaAllah, my daughter is frustrated with coronavirus situation. How do I respond? SubhanAllah, that sounds challenging. I think it's really important to, depending on how old your daughter is, to kind of take the time to sit and listen to what exactly she thinks the coronavirus situation is, even. Because I think sometimes some of our kids have internalized incorrect notions about what's going on, and even if they've they understand what's going on, I think it's really important to protect them from the constant media, right? We don't need to expose them to all that. SubhanAllah, you know, the world can carry on, you know, the world will carry on. The world has been spinning and continues to spin for centuries and centuries and centuries and centuries, right? Millennia. And we as human beings, being obsessed with the news and constantly listening to it, and it's not going to change anything, you know? Of course, we need to be updated every day. Okay, fine. Have the moment once a day maybe to keep updated. But I think we need to protect our children from the constant media stuff, right? The constant negativity. And SubhanAllah, sometimes us as Muslims, you know, we post some really stupid things and share some really dumb things on WhatsApp and other places like that without checking, you know, without fact checking. And also without really considering, how is this going to affect the mental health of the person who I'm sending this to, right? So I think it's really important for us to not constantly be thinking about this coronavirus situation and not constantly be talking about it. Show our children, you know, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, even when the day of judgment is coming, right? And you're planting something, you continue planting it, sisters. So we have to teach them that attitude. They're watching us. And that's what I meant in the last session where I said, we've got to be role models, because they're watching us to see how we're responding. Are we going to fall apart, or are we going to react and respond in a powerful and empowered way? So, dear sisters, you know, let's reassure our children. Let's show them that, you know, Allah, reconnect them with the ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Especially, I would go through the 40 hadith of Imam Nawawi with our children. Those are like the most important fundamental hadiths that our kids need to know. And in one of them, you know, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us that, SubhanAllah, he told one of the Sahaba that, if the whole world was to gather against you, right, and want to harm you with something that Allah had not written, they would never be able to harm you. And if the whole world was to gather for you to try to benefit you in something that Allah had not written for you, they would not be able to. We need to reconnect them with those beliefs, with the aqidah that we have, you know. And this is the time for them to learn that, because later on in life, when we're not with them, they're going to face stuff. And we don't want them to not be resilient. We want them to be resilient. It's really important. So I hope that helps. Jazakallah khairan, sister, for breaking it all down for us. I missed the beginning, however. So is it possible to list them after you finish? Yeah, this recording is going to be available on this page anyway, after this. Disorienting is the word, I believe. Naima says, yes, that's the word. Disorienting, subhanallah. Well, that's the thing. When you feel disoriented, what do? You need to reorient yourself, right? You get that map out, get that compass, and figure your own way, right? Salam sis, can you give us a practical tips of how to implement the routine of Quran recitation on a daily basis with teenagers? Oh, subhanallah. I'm sorry, for me, get a tutor. That's my way. Okay, so I'm having like a online tutor for my sons to one of them to do his daily revision, okay, and new memorization, and the other to just review the whole Quran. The one who has finished his hifd, I want him to read the whole Quran, maybe do it with ijaza, and just review, you know. And for me, the way that I'm going to make that work, and for you it might be different, is to have either every day or at least once a week or every 3 days. I haven't 100% decided yet, but I have started the process. Online class every morning, right? So they have to literally go to the computer every morning, and they've got that teacher there to hold them to account and go through that with them. For me, that's what's going to work. And you really need to identify what's going to work for you, right? Are you available to be the person who sits with them every single morning and you set a time and you do this? Or having an online tutor, is it going to work? I mean, the online tutor costs like $6 or $7, I think, an hour or something like that. It's really not that expensive for most of us, you know. So I would encourage you to create the structures and, you know, the institutions that you need for your own family. Okay, I'm having trouble in salah management. Oh gosh, subhanallah. Salah management. Now that depends on their ages, obviously. But I would say, and I know it takes effort, but this is what we have to do. If you've got an older son, oldest or daughter, you can make them responsible for, managing the salah of the family, right? It's your job to gather, to get everyone to come for jama'ah, and at the beginning of the day or at the beginning of the week, you sit with that elder child and you say, okay, look at the prayer times, right? And these are the times that we're going to pray for dhuhr, especially fajr, dhuhr, asr, maghrib, you know, if you're trying to pray in jama'ah, which I would encourage everyone to do as much as possible. Otherwise you're going to have to do that, you know, every morning you're going to have to take a look at the prayer times, or if you've got, you know, an app or something for that, you're going to have to take a look, and you're going to have to mentally make a note of where those prayer times are going to be. Or if you make that timetable with your kids, which is why I'm really encouraging you to do that. If you make that timetable with your kids, and when I say with them, I don't mean for them, I mean sit with them and get them to do it with your kind of help, you can get them to slot in when they're going to pray dhuhr, right? When they're going to pray asr, when they're going to pray maghrib, isha, etc., right? So I think we have to have, when it comes to salah, we should make that the priority. We should make that the thing that I think helps us structure our day because it's a must. I'm not really sure exactly what the nature of salah management problems that you're having, sister. But I would say, again, you know, when we feel overwhelmed and disoriented, I think it's really important to try to fix things a bit at a time, you know. Don't try to have the perfect day. So if you missed Fajr this morning, right? If you missed Fajr this morning, tomorrow is the day you're not going to miss Fajr. That's going to be your focus, right? Then the next day, for example, you could try to improve things a little bit more, a little bit more, right? Have that kind of long-term view, and inshallah things will improve slowly, slowly. Alhamdulillah. Lots of comments. whenever I pray, my kids are with me, and my son wants to be the imam all the time. He's four, and although knows his prayer, and two little kids are just over and around me, distracting my attention. Subhanallah. You know what, sisters? We're going to be rewarded for all of that, for all the things we have to be patient with, right? We'll be rewarded for that. So hang in there and do your best. A sister says, I'm struggling trying to get my five children to sit this week for school lessons. Last week, I found it a little easier to maintain a school structure and madrasa lessons, but this week, I'm finding it tough as the children do not want to do any of it. They're either ignoring me or having... Sorry, I shouldn't laugh. I'm so sorry, sister. They're either ignoring me or having a tantrum. Can you suggest any ideas of what I can do, please? 5, 11, 3. Subhanallah, you got your hands full. Well, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for you, sister. It's okay to let go of the structure sometimes, you know? It's okay. Subhanallah. Sometimes we need that space, and maybe they need it, you know? Maybe they need it, that we just literally just chill out for a week. Chill out for a week if you have to, right? But during that week, you need to set things going, right? So you need to start preparing for the next week if you want there to be a structure the next week. But I think there is some utility in allowing our kids to have an unstructured day as well, you know? Subhanallah. I think sometimes we overstructure things as well. So I'm not encouraging us to overstructure. When I say make a timetable, make it a flexible timetable, you know? Make like big chunks of time, not like, you know, small little slots. I mean, get them to start thinking about their day. Get them to start really planning generally, you know, what I'm going to do at this time, what I'm going to do this, what I'm going to have achieved. But not to have a kind of tyrannical structure over you, right? Because all that does is just, it becomes too difficult, but also it just gives you feelings of failure at the end of the day because it's too difficult to stick to, right? So look, you've got your hands full. You're not going to be necessarily having to make things as rigid as that, you know, subhanAllah. But you could think of the day in terms of, for example, morning, afternoon or early afternoon and evening, right? Rather than time slots. You can think, all right, by in the morning, I'm going to focus on this. In the middle of the day, we're going to focus on this. And at the end of the day, it's going to be, I don't know, dinner and all of that, right? Clearing up, etc. So I think we have to make, you know, we have to adjust according to our children's ages and their situation. I also think there's a lot of utility in allowing children to be bored, you know. I really do. And I think sometimes we feel like we have to constantly entertain them. No, we don't have to constantly entertain them. It's actually quite healthy for them to sit and daydream. It's quite healthy for them to go to their bedrooms and read a book, contemplate, think, be bored. Yes, be bored. If you're never bored, you're never going to value not being bored, right? And I'm sure that some of the greatest ideas and thoughts in history have come through people sitting and being bored. Okay, can you please provide a list of things that children must know Islamically by the time they are 10 or 11 years old? Must know. Okay, inshallah, we can think about that. I would say, obviously, you know, you want them to know all the different aspects. First of all, you know, I'm always emphasizing instilling in our kids their relationship with Allah, right? And that comes with the way you are with Allah, the way you are with the Quran, but also sitting and making dua with them so that they learn how to connect to Allah, right? They're not going to learn that through you just telling them, pray to Allah. You have to model it for them, right? So once they've started to develop that relationship with Allah, then obviously think about the first obligations, which are the salah. The salah is the first obligation and the main obligation that's going to be on them for the rest of their lives, right? So that's going to mean breaking down the salah, all the different aspects of the salah, all the different du'as, all the actions, and slowly but surely teaching those to them, right? So things like Surah Al-Fatiha, the short surahs of the Quran, for example, the adhkar that you say in the different parts of the salah, right? Teaching that to them slowly but surely. And then going through the whole salah with them, letting them just join you, but then eventually actually breaking it down and going through each part to make sure, you know, you watch them do it and then you correct them in that. And then you keep doing that at regular intervals, you know. There is a salah calendar that is quite useful when you have young kids. I think Learning Roots, the company Learning Roots, they do a salah calendar, which some kids find very useful. So they put a sticker every time they do their salah for that day. So you could make it, for example, initially, you know, in week one, you've got to at least have prayed one prayer every day. Week two, you could increase that to two, three, four, you know, five, like that, especially when they're young. But I would say you would want to aim that by the age of 10, 11, that they're praying the five prayers. However they're praying it, they've got that concept of stopping and praying those five prayers. So you want to start early, maybe start when they're seven. Doesn't mean they're perfect at it when they're seven, but start the process at least, right? Also things like, I need to think about it a little bit, inshallah, but for me, the salah and their connection with Allah, that's going to be the most important. And for me, focusing on getting them to be able to read the Quran is very important. Okay, up to the age of 10, read the Quran, and read the Quran from beginning to end. Even if they're not doing hifz of the whole Quran, for me, my aim has always been at least for them to know Juz Amma, okay, which is the 30th part of the Quran, and for them to have read the Quran from beginning to end, at least, you know, in their childhood once. And that takes patience. And initially, sometimes it's like reading a word a day or a sentence, you know, an ayah a day. Then you slowly build it up to half a page a day, until it becomes a page a day. And then you just maintain that until they complete the whole Quran at least once. For me, that's been my aim. But you know, you can create your own aims as well, right? For your own child and your own situation. Is it acceptable to pray behind a four-year-old? I actually need to look into that more. Okay, because I guess it depends on the four-year-old. But generally speaking, when my kid was four and she really wanted to lead me in salah, and really, really wanted to lead me, I would allow her to, and then I would do my own salah afterwards. Because I wanted to encourage her, right? The reason why it could be problematic is because, you know, first of all, they're wudu, right? The second thing is and just generally, you know, like their recitation sometimes is not correct, or they miss things, and, you know, etc., etc. So because of that, I would be weary of kind of praying behind a four-year-old. But also, Islamically, you know, it is the case that really you're supposed to allow the head of the house to lead the salah, or the person who knows the most Quran to lead the salah, you know. So that could be a child, but I doubt it's going to be the four-year-old. So, yeah, to allow them to lead you, to encourage them, fine. But personally, I would repeat that salah myself privately when they're not looking, just to be on the sure side. So, sisters, I believe we've come to the end of this session. Can you please provide a list of things? Okay. I don't know. I'm seeing comments actually. I'm trying. I might have missed something. Okay. Let me just look up, inshallah, the issue of praying behind a child, because I've never really looked into it except for an older child. So for an older child, yeah, it's fine, you know, a child who recites properly and things like that. But a very, very young child, yeah, I just need to look into that a bit more. I don't want to give an answer without being sure, okay? So anyway, sisters, I think that we have come to the end of this session. Jazakumullah khairan. I hope that it was just like a little space for us to start thinking about some of these things, right? Start thinking about, okay, you know, how can I use this time to maximize the benefit for my family? And maybe there are opportunities, and maybe it's a time I could focus on some stuff that I've been neglecting, right? That actually is going to really serve them for the rest of their lives, you know, subhanAllah. Some of the greatest memories that you've probably got as well from your own childhood are times when maybe it was kind of unplanned, but you got to spend extra time with your parents or with other people, and you really learn a lot from that period, right? So inshallah, hopefully this can be beneficial in that way as well. So let us seize the benefit of every situation that we're ever in, not be victims of circumstance, but you know, actually be resourceful and use our time in the best way that we can. Our children are growing up so quickly, subhanAllah, they're growing up so quickly, and very soon they'll be gone. They'll be gone from yani, they'll fly the nest. And so this is the time and opportunity we have, sisters, to really, when we have their attention and we have them in our nest, to really instill in them and to fix certain things, right, that need fixing in the culture of our families, in our homes. Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us different opportunities, different tests that, you know, actually we could benefit from as well, right? And that teach us a lot. That teach us a lot. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you, my dear sisters. May Allah make it easy for you. Inshallah, with that, I will leave you and I will bid you farewell. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Subhanak Allahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.